How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number 2 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We got the C-Note coming up in 20 minutes. Time now for Woolchuck's Mixed Bag here, Zach.
All right, let's go ahead and shake it up. You never know what you're going to get. Let's hit it with a mixed bag.
You want a chocolate? Mama.
Mama. Leave the gut. Mama. Take the cannoli.
Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates.
How do they get them back?
Just throw it in the bag.
You never know what you're going to get.
Let's go ahead and start in college football. I'm a little surprised it's taken this long, but Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel is going to step down from his position at the end of the calendar year. There were findings in an internal investigation into leadership in the athletic department that the culture review identified 3 overarching areas of concern, and they were reported. Now, there's $12 million into an internal investigation that Michigan's put forth into their athletic department. Obviously, there's been a lot that's gone on here with the sign stealing, Sharon Moore, everything there. And I believe Sharon Moore, what's the name of the girl that he had the fling with? I think she's suing him the university now for basically like, hey, I tried to tell you guys that stuff was going on. You guys didn't do anything. So, yeah, this
pathetic.
Is a, yeah, it's
you were
not
sleeping
good.
With a married man.
Yeah, it's
go
like
go hide in shame.
You're not innocent.
Yeah, no, she's not.
No,
she's playing.
She had
victim.
A good job too.
Yeah, Paige Shiver or Shiver.
Shiver.
Yeah.
Her dad's Shiver. A scout with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, so she's claiming the school violated the Freedom of Information Act and wants the requested records and investigation findings made public. So that has something to do with it. And she was fired, of course, and now she is suing the university. But all this has gone
We're
on.
We're trying to hire this guy at LSU, I think.
Get fired?
Sean Moore?
Yeah.
Really?
I think we are.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I'm surprised she's getting a job so quickly.
No. We're trying to. Oh, you're talking about him?
Yeah.
Yeah, him. Yeah,
he'd,
yeah.
Like, sit
no,
out for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're down there. I'm just hearing some whispers that we're trying to hire him. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. How would you feel about that?
Guy,
to coach?
Guys, like, yeah.
This
like
happens?
Say, if he's not, as long as he's not the head coach.
Man, what a wild
our head coach is
staff.
Crazy, too.
Lane Kiffin, Coach Owen, Sharon Moore. There's some wild boys they got over there at LSU.
Hide your kids, hide your wives.
Big time, man. That nobody is safe over there. But, yeah, that's craziness. Now, we've got the coaches' clinic that's going on. A lot of Texas high school football coaches, Dave Aranda, college coaches. Joey McGuire and Sark were actually sitting next to each other on the stage. They had a fun bit going back and forth. Sark put his arm around Joey like, we're fine. We're good. We're boys. And I guess they are. They're friends. They text. And all the Texas versus Texas Tech stuff. It's good for the sport. I'm here for it. But Sark was talking about play calling, and I will say, as great as he is as an offensive mastermind, I do think there are questions with his play calling, specifically in the goal line. And I know Texas fans, and it kind of goes back to even his time with Alabama, USC. Like, he's had so much success. But there are a lot of Texas fans that feel as though Sark, as a play caller, holds them back at times. But here was Sark discussing why he likes to call plays and why it's important for him.
You know, I think you know, one of the advantages for me, I definitely have a real connection with our players because I'm in and around them every single day. I'm coaching these guys. I'm installing plays. I'm around them. We're talking game plans. I'm doing those things. So I think from a connection standpoint, that helps. I think on game day of trying to manage the game and control the game of when you want to speed up, maybe when you want to slow down, you know, when you go forward on fourth down, when you don't, the impact that can have on your team, if you make it, if you don't make it, field position with the defense, things of that nature. So that's obviously very helpful. I think one of the areas where it can be difficult is trusting those guys on defense, you know, because if I'm trying to make adjustments on the offensive side of the ball between series, it's having trust in the defensive coaches that they've got a good grasp of what we're doing and if a timeout's needed, why, you know, what that situation looks like, things of that nature. And so I think to your point, it's like for me, it's great having Will Muschamp back, a guy who's been a you know a head coach twice in the Southeastern Conference. I think his understanding, his ability to really lead young men in our locker room is big for me, is huge for me. But I don't, you know, this is the only way I know it. You know, I've never done it any other way. And I grew up in the profession with a guy that did it that way as well, and Pete Carroll. You know, he called the defense. And, you know, when I went to the Oakland Raiders early in my career, Norv Turner was the head coach, he called the plays. And so this is just kind of the way I learned it.
It does sound like that's not something he's ever going to give up. So for Texas fans that are like, man, I'd like to just get another play caller in here. I understand what he's saying, though, in terms of being the head coach and the play caller and being able to kind of dictate pace of play and also having an overarching like theme of how the entire game's going. What do I need to do here? The defense, he's clearly hired Will Muschamp to be the head coach of the defense. He does not want to have to go ahead and put as much time into that side of the ball. So he's brought in somebody that he trusts to literally manage that side of the ball. So he's able to just focus now on the offense. Will that work? We'll see. I mean, I don't know how good Will Muschamp is at this stage in his career. 20 years ago, he was arguably the best in all of college football. But it was interesting just hearing, comparing that to now, you know, obviously with the Cowboys and Brian Schottenheimer, who's the head coach and the play caller. I can understand why you would like to have control and do both.
Yeah, I can too. You know, I think both can work, but it's a rare guy who can have the big picture, 30,000-foot view, and be adjusting and recognizing everything the other team's doing, and also have the ability, you know, internally to switch gears in the same 30 or 40 seconds and go through the library of possible plays. And I don't know, call me crazy, but Sark doesn't seem like the brilliant guy that could pull all that off. Yeah. So I get it. At the same time, he's had so much success.
He has.
And, you know, if you look at last year, all we heard about was the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And if you believe that was bad and your quarterback is developing, he is not a finished college product yet, of course,
yeah,
your offense is going to get stuck in the mud often. You know, so I think I would wait until he has all the pieces and he fails to maybe point the finger at play calling. If you want to look at what went wrong for the Longhorns last year, it's probably the third or fourth thing on the list that I'd even consider.
Yeah, and they did. They graduated a lot of talent. They certainly, in the portal, hit the running back room and wide receiver. They got the best wide receiver transfer in the country in Cam Coleman. So they knew they needed to add skill players as well to that offense. And we'll see how this goes this year for Texas. Now, staying in at the SEC, Alabama. This was a wild stat. They were not able to land a single in-state recruit for the class of 2027.
What?
Under Kalen DeBoer. No. This would have been unfathomable, right? Stan Hope, who covers Alabama 3 years ago. Now, this is prior to Nick Saban's retirement. All of the top 15 prospects from the state of Alabama in 2027 recruiting class are not committed to the University of Alabama. They all left. In fact, before Nick Saban's retirement in 2024, Ohio State, for instance, had only two players from Alabama all time. They just added their seventh player from Alabama now since Kalen DeBoer has taken the job. So they are struggling to keep talent within their own state, which is a huge loss for Alabama. And at 20-8 now, in a record over 3 years for Kalen DeBoer, every year, I mean, we kind of look up and gosh, and he just signed a big extension, too, I think, this offseason again. Like, the clock is ticking on Kalen DeBoer. I just don't know. And it was going to be tough. Whoever had to take over for Nick Saban, I think, was probably going to end up ultimately failing. Those are shoes that I don't think can be filled. So it sucks to be the guy that has to trail the all-time great. But, man, that was wild. I never expected to hear that they were having trouble recruiting inside their own state like that.
Yeah, that's a red flag, you know, and I think you've probably seen enough from Kalen DeBoer to know he's not a miracle worker. He's not, you know, near the standard of Nick Saban, but he's also not doing his own thing in a way that gives you an advantage.
Yeah.
So I would be thinking, let's get on to the next guy and see if...
Just move on.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they might fire him last year midseason.
What he did at Washington was so impressive. And I get why that would get a lot of fans and inside that building. And, you know, you go out on a limb to get him hired and you want it to be true. But, You know, I would, to me, like, sure, you lose Nick Saban, maybe your better days are behind you, but also you got a new coach and he's not really doing close to a good enough job and you're hanging on to him. It's starting to look to me like Nick Saban was all of your football wisdom. Is there anybody in that athletic department that's like, hey, let's go find this coach or that coach? You're sticking with something that's proven to not work.
Yeah. It's an unbelievable indictment, dude.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's wild. It's like, geez, I mean, that should be number one. You know, you're trying to just keep your own. If you're the top player in Alabama, you're going to Alabama. But they're not.
That's the first sign that I think you've lost it as a program.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Is this money? Is it just that?
NIL or maybe. But, I mean, the entire existence prior to this, they had two players at Ohio State from Alabama. Now you've had seven in the last 3 years. That's wild to me.
Kids want to win. They want to know you can get to the NFL. They want to get paid. And
they don't believe
your coach isn't figuring out a way to make that impression on them, then, go
it's
with
crazy.
Somebody else.
Well, thank you to everybody that came out to COSM over the watch parties for the World Cup. Now it's in the books, and I think that overall, as a host country, it seemed to be very successful. $9 billion is what FIFA made reportedly, according to Polymarket, from the World Cup, which is the greatest sports achievement in history. The next World Cup in 2030, that's going to be in Uruguay, Argentina, Paraguay, Morocco, Portugal, and Spain. The South American countries are only going to hold the opening set of matches, and then the rest will spread out. But
it started the history of it. That's what
it's amazing.
They're going back to the history of the start. So.
It's going to be really cool. Yeah. Now, the awards, you did get seven players that have won the Ballon d'Or Champions International title when you've got the Euro and then, of course, the Golden Ball. And Rodri claimed the Golden Ball as the tournament's best overall player from Spain, so congratulations to him. Kylian Mbappe, the Golden Boot, top goal scorer. But, man, Spain just was so damn dominant yesterday. I mean, the fact that he was still just 1-0 was amazing, and that's a testament to Argentina's goaltender. Tremendous job. But I thought it was a badass tournament, man. It was a blast getting to do the watch parties over there at COSM, and hopefully in 2030 we're still able to run it back and do it again. Maybe Team USA still has Pochettino. I guess we'll have that announcement coming up this week.
Yeah, that and LeBron, your big announcements that are imminent at some point this week. The tournament was fantastic. I loved every minute of it. I can't wait for 2030 now. It's sad, but I do wonder how much this brought people along. You know, it's grown significantly since 94. Now that's 32 years, but just in the last 10 years, like MLS expansion fees have exploded exponentially.
Sure.
So it's like $50 million to $500 million now to get in the MLS. Right. So there's a lot of signs that this thing is growing, but I don't know. I guess we're all kind of hoping for that big jump. Or at least soccer folks are hoping that instead of the incremental growth, there could be an explosive catalytic moment, if you will.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you guys this. What do we think? Because, of course, we're a country that's like, if you didn't win, then what the hell are you doing? But maybe it's different. Argentina still declared today a national holiday, even after they lose the World Cup. Now, they finish runner-ups. They get themselves the silver trophies or the silver medals. But their president's still a holiday.
My guess is they were planning on winning this thing, and they had already had it on the schedule.
We're just going to stick with it now?
We're just going to stick with it, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be my plan.
Yeah, they were hoping to join Italy as the only nation to win back-to-back World Cups.
It's like our mayor that said, you know, this is going to be the parade route. Yeah. Then we have that.
Oh, yeah, we don't need that.
Yeah. Just went ahead and say, yeah, this is the parade route. We got this covered. But, yeah, I gut feeling is they already thought they were going to win this match, and they – said, let's go ahead and do it.
You got to have plan A and plan B, man. You got to be ready to pivot here. You can't be doing national holidays.
Could be a day of mourning, though,
lost.
Too.
Yeah, it's a sad day.
Yeah.
But is this like in perpetuity, like every day on July 20th?
No, it's just today.
Just
today.
For today. Yeah. So it's just like a sad day of mourning, I guess. Okay.
We're going to celebrate the team's achievement.
Yeah, we're going to reflect on we should have been bounced by Cape Verde.
Yeah. Or Egypt.
Yeah.
Gosh, I mean,
I think
they were
just so devastated that they knew no work would get done today.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Their people
yeah,
would call.
Smart.
People would call in. Like, hey, we're not working today,
man.
Yeah, that's true. You don't make your people take a sick day or a sad day.
Like, you guys aren't coming in anyway, so let's go ahead and do this.
They cared so much about it. The players embarrassed themselves on international television for
they
an
sure
hour.
Did. So sad. Last thing here. Have you guys heard this story about Josh Naylor? stabbing a former teammate.
I did see this. Yes, this was quite jarring. Is this like a throwback story?
Yeah, it is.
So just it was, seeing the light of day or
yes,
something?
Yes, it was in 2016. I guess his former teammate is now talking about it publicly. But it was with when they were in the minors, Class A Green Grasshoppers. Naylor was suspended for one game after he says he accidentally stabbed his teammate in the thumb while hiding out in his apartment trying to scare him.
Practical joke, man.
So he's saying prank gone bad here. Now, the teammate said, the guy hid in the closet waiting for me to get home. When I went to hang my shirt up, he jumped out with a knife pointed at me. It caught my thumb, sliced it wide open, had to go to the ER. Next day, coach holds a team meeting saying the front office wants to keep it hush-hush. I get surgery. He got suspended for one game. 2 weeks later, he goes to the Futures game and gets traded. He's the most psychotic person I've ever met in my life. And I do think, like...
Yeah, that's next level.
Pranks
that's,
with knives?
That's crazy, dude.
Maybe we don't do that?
Yeah.
You want to get a prop knife, like a Halloween knife?
You know? I don't even think you need the knife. Just the fact that you are sitting in
you're
my closet,
in closet
waiting for me to get home. I am not expecting you to be there. Okay? Whatever scare tactic you were trying to pull off, it worked. Just by you simply being in my closet when I got home. The knife is insane.
Mm. I think that that's where we can kind of draw the line.
And
here.
The whole thing is crazy. Even without the knife, going into the closet.
And hiding. How long was he in the closet?
It's too much of a prank.
How long is he hiding in there? How committed to the bit was he? But there's probably more to it. There's an Instagram post of the teammate that's gone viral of him talking about it. And I really just kind of got that little clip. Maybe there's more details to the story. But just bizarre. Josh Naylor, watch out. If you're currently a Seattle Mariner, he might stab you.
We need some Rangers media to ask him when we see the Mariners here in a few days.
That might be the most wild baseball story.
That's nuts.
Okay, thank you, Wolchuk. A mixed bag in the books. Dak quotes from over the weekend, what he has to say about the Super Bowl and more coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We'll hit the C-note with you.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Next in the Fan. All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Look at this, just 20 minutes away from Krusty's Corner. You're 1 week away now from Brian being out there
yes.
in Oxnard?
Yeah, I'll be there. So the first week is what? T-shirts and helmets and things. Maybe a little bit more competition stuff than we have for an OTA practice. But be out there in the middle of all that. Looking forward to doing the show from the tennis courts and looking forward to having you guys out there the following week for sure.
Yeah, starting August 3rd, our show will be out there and tune in to KNC plus Broadus next week as our training camp coverage gets underway. Dak quotes from over the weekend. This is a virtual meet and greet. Was this part of the Fanatics deal?
No, I think this was charitable thing.
Yeah,
this is his cancer thing that he does for his mom.
Well, salute to that foundation.
Yeah.
He says, the one thing I love about Cowboys Nation and being a player of the Cowboys is it's Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah.
And truthfully, that's the only reason you play this game. And so if that's not your mindset, your mindset as a fan, then to me, you don't have the right passion. You're not a true winner. So absolutely, we're working every day for it. And I think he's dead balls on. You know, I think that's part of what makes these guys great is their belief that they can win, you know, and that confidence is powerful. He says, whether it be competing away from the game or even in the game when we're competing, that's why we have players like Caleb Downs change their defensive coordinator, that scheme, and super excited about what we're going to offer you guys. Okay, so I guess at least there he was talking to the fans or media. On the offseason and his trip with the guys, apparently they went to Utah.
Park City.
Says it's been busy. Obviously, we had the off-season training and the workouts, but when that ended a few weeks ago, for me, it was about playing golf. So had the receivers and the tight ends, all the pass catchers out in Utah. We had a great time just getting better and getting camaraderie. It's been a great off-season. They go out there and play a bunch of golf in Utah? I'll tell you what, if I was Dak Prescott, you have, okay, the Brian Flores game last year fresh in your memories, right, against Minnesota.
Tough day at the office.
It was.
One of Brian Flores' right-hand men, Durante Jones, a gentleman that interviewed for the defensive coordinator position here with the Cowboys, takes DC job in Washington. You're going to see that twice a year, a lot of blitzes. You have, you know, not only the Cowboys, but several teams around the NFL changing coordinators and many of them electing to go with some Fangio stuff, which, you know, as we've become familiar with Christian Parker, is kind of predicated on handling the run with four or six and then allowing your secondary to play games with the quarterback and make them hold the ball for that extra half tick, make them hesitate. And that's, you know, that takes me back to 2021 and 2022 against DeMeco Ryans, who was getting it done with a different front technique. It was one gap, but they were able to do the same things against you as Fangio is trying to do, just with a different defensive line technique. This is about figuring out what to do, what's next, because at this age with this injury history, I can't run myself out of this. I can't say, oh, they're making me think a half second. Now it's time to go get in space and run through somebody or give them a little Dak Prescott nifty move that he was so good at, probably for his first four seasons in the NFL and obviously his entire career at Mississippi State. But I would be obsessed with how do I counter this, not what is my handicap, if you will.
Oh, this goes back to Romo a little bit too, right? Too much golfing?
Definitely does.
Maybe a little too much golfing. Hope Dak's not driving around right now.
This is the I hope he is. Yeah. I mean, hopefully he knows the hotline. This is the Romo similarity from his career arc that we didn't need or want. I don't need my quarterbacks obsessed with golf, Brian.
You want him in the lab. You want him in the virtual reality
thing.
Thank you. Speeding up the defense and just committed 25 hours a day to try and make sure that he is the most cerebral quarterback possible and there is no defense that could make him a tick slow when he's getting ready to sling that thing out of the pocket. I get it.
I mean, there are a lot of variables to account for. And I don't know, maybe he knows for sure that he's got it 100% maxed out, and sometimes the defenses are just going to get you.
Okay, so they're practicing, they're working together, they're still doing football drills, but they take a day, they golf together as a unit. Still, no go. They need to be working, they need to be drilling football, football.
Tony was trying to be a pro.
Tony was trying,
he took it to another level.
Dak's just trying to be better than Gavin Dawson right now.
I mean, and these guys, that I get it. Golf's amazing.
No, it is.
This is part of his leadership. This is part of the intangible.
Just a bonding
event. Okay, bonding. A bonding event, I get.
Devil's advocate here.
Chemistry.
If you're going to play one round with the guys, and that's part of your team building on your trip, I love it.
I don't think Dak's good enough to be like, I think Tony legitimately was thinking about, how can I be an NFL quarterback and also play in the Byron Nelson?
Yeah.
That's what I think I think Dak is playing golf in a way of like,
he's just hanging out with the guys?
Yeah. I could say, I don't think he's trying to be both.
Maybe if he did the Tahoe American Century deal.
See, Tony tries to win that every year.
Maybe that would take you off a little bit more.
I mean, you don't have to be good at golf to be obsessed by golf. I think golf is a contagion.
LeBron, right?
Golf's a contagion. Yeah. You know, if you have it in your sales force, you're probably underperforming by 20 or 30%.
I think Dak's just trying to be better than you in golf. You know, that's all. I don't think
not hard.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Golf is for champions.
That's what I'm saying. I think
that Lombardi.
I think if you go out there and play with Dak, it might be a lot of looking for his ball. That kind of thing. You know, I think it's just go out and have fun.
Where there's accuracy
where Tony was thinking about it at a whole nother level. Like every waking moment was, how could I qualify for a PGA event? That's what he was. Or how do I qualify for the U.S. Open? Or how do I qualify, you know? That's what he was thinking about.
Okay, speaking of the Niners' losses at the end of the 2021 and 2022 season, it hit a fever pitch Friday, continued in the weekend with social media reactions. You had Kevin Clark championing for Dak late in the week, and then Emmanuel Acho accusing him of peeing down his leg.
Oh, he went
games.
Full stink on it.
Yes. I think he
called him Pea Scott at one point.
It was pretty vulgar. So I spent some time watching the games and
proving yourself
the playoff
right.
games?
Proving yourself
yes.
correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, I didn't know that with the NFL.com Plus subscription.
Yeah, you go back.
The condensed game?
You can go back in time.
Yeah.
You got... And then you got this film room thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so cool.
Where you just enter a player's name and you can watch all of whatever game situation
it's
you want.
Awesome.
I thought that level of film filter was only for like league insiders or you had to spend more money.
It might be a new edition because they did not have it during the season.
Give me your $100. They'll do it for you.
Yeah.
They're all good.
Yeah, so that was a very pleasant surprise, NFL.com, and I thank you. And please don't take that away from me because it's my new best friend.
The question is, can they get you the film in a timely manner?
Oh. Yeah, because that can be hit or miss. Sometimes it's up immediately, sometimes it's a Wednesday. I'm like, damn it.
So I thought that conversation last week kind of consolidated around the idea of is it more Dak's fault or is it more the front office's fault that they haven't won?
If anyone says it's more Dak's fault than the front office's, they are completely wrong.
Okay,
they are completely wrong. I just want to make sure that as maybe the highest paid quarterback in the league on any given year, you are shouldering some blame.
Yes, yes.
Oh, and if you're doing the pie chart of just the Joneses / front office with Dak, I don't know, is it 70-30?
Yeah, and I think you could say 70-30 sounds like a decent enough number to me.
80-20?
Good ballpark estimation. But
50-50?
They got whipped by Dak in the negotiation in his agency. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. You've built insufficient rosters.
Crappy coaching staffs.
And you had crappy coaching staffs.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, I think that's where I would put that at the top. It's like you made this dude go with Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy for majority of his career. And hopefully he got something new here going.
Speak that up.
With Adams and Shoddy and that... You know, to some extent, from a playoff standpoint, certainly remains to be seen, but seems like they're moving in the right direction from that standpoint.
They have not hired a difference maker as a head coach.
Still?
I have questions about this one. I do. I think this guy is great for getting everybody on the same page. I just don't, man. If he was his old man, I would be so much happier. I don't think he's his dad. But what I think he's very good is smoothing everything over, you know. And listen, he did a great job of delegating and making sure that he got the right defensive coordinator after the front office tried to saddle him with another bad defensive coordinator, you know. So I give him credit for that. I just don't know if this guy's that difference maker. And I think you need that. I just think you need the guy when it's the NFC Championship game or it's a – it's a week 17 game and it's, you know, your team's beat up and you need to outthink somebody and you need to come up with something that could just get you over the top. I think this guy's a great, I think he's great to have just all the other times. I don't know about this time.
I don't know about Shoddy as a play caller, but I think everything else is going to put you in a good enough position. Now, it's a 32-team league. His dad got close several times. His dad probably felt
his
like
he had... His dad had some terrible luck along the way. His dad also had some really good teams and effed up those teams at the end.
Maybe apple doesn't fall from the tree.
I just don't... I loved his dad. I loved his dad's mentality and the toughness that he had. And I think that... But he had some bad luck in Cleveland, especially in a couple of games against Denver. But overall, I think this guy's he's a good leader. I just don't know about that difference maker.
So we'll see on Shoddy, you know, with Dak and like his role in losing those three games.
Yeah, what'd you learn?
I don't think any quarterback in the history of the league would win those games more than half of the time. Maybe 5% of the time, the absolute best quarterbacks in the NFL would overcome what Dak would have had to overcome against the 49ers and Packers. And I'm just not comfortable with that as a media member or analyst or talk show host saying, I'm going to mark it against you that you weren't able to overcome all of this. The 49ers didn't blitz. They completely shut down the run game in both games. And, you know, they had Warner, Greenlaw, and Azeez Al-Shaair basically running free, playing pass defense against you. Your running game went 16 carries for 48 yards in one game and 16 carries for 45 yards in the other game. The pressure rate was around 30%. A third of the time. Now, not the worst in NFL history. I think the worst was Tom Brady against the Broncos in like 2014 or something. He was pressured on about half the snaps. But it was the highest amount Dak had been pressured that those seasons when he got to take on the 49ers. I mean, what kind of quarterbacks win if you're accounting for all of that? You're stopping our run easily. You're pressuring us constantly. And you're dropping seven dudes who were named Fred Warner, Aziz Alshire, one of the faster linebackers. I didn't even realize he was still on that team.
Yeah.
And then Dre Greenlaw, who, you know, was at that point, you know, a really good player. And you go through those rosters that the 49ers brought and what it ended up being. And maybe you guys remember this and you're accounting for it, but it was the number three defense by DVOA in 2021 and then clearly the best defense in 2022. And D'Amico Ryans was in the process of establishing himself as the best assistant coach in all of football. Yeah. And you were putting up Mike McCarthy and what, Kellen Moore? You're going to battle against the assistant coach of the year who is about to become head coach of the Texans and go down there and very quickly build another incredible defense. And yes, that happens, you know, just as it happened to Tom Brady against not only the Broncos, but he had bad days against the Ravens and the Jets in the 2000s. Patrick Mahomes scores 20 points or less in about one out of every five of his playoff starts. You know, and if you have the defense or the running game, you know, but I would say the way the Cowboys would have won those games is if their defense could have outplayed San Francisco's. And, you know, I think Dan Quinn did a pretty good job of making chicken salad out of chicken bleep. But, yeah, I guess my overall takeaway is just that I don't think you would bet on any quarterback in the history of the league to win either of those games. And then obviously Green Bay. Yes. The pick that set up their first field goal made it 10 zip. And then the pick six made it 27 to zip. Yep. And it was over. But you would
that's the most egregious.
That was a bad one.
But what the defense did in failing stopping Jordan Love and stopping Aaron Jones, you know, was
terrible.
Dan Quinn was
prohibitive.
Talking to Washington about that job.
Yeah.
Will McClay just yelled at me about that. I mean, yelled at me.
That's his guy.
That, like, he's, how can you say that? I'm like, I'm just telling you, man, you hadn't played like that all year. You go out there, and next thing you know, that guy gets that job. Come on. And he goes, you should know better than that. I appreciate Will. I really, really do. But, man, I mean, that just did not seem right. The way that thing went down.
No, because you know those teams played really good defense. Yeah. You know, and I think that is a fairly common criticism of coaches that take another job earlier in the week and then go out there and you know do something that made them look unprepared.
Yeah, it just was so strange. That didn't even look like the same defense that played all year. And Green Bay had something to do with that. Don't get me wrong, but man, not to that level.
No,
he just
terrible.
Looked awful.
Shell shock.
Yeah.
Green Bay was a lot better offensively than maybe their statistical profile of the year showed.
And you're not, and you're having like busted coverages, guys out of place, communication problems. You hadn't had them all year. Second overall seed in the NFC. Defensively, you'd been outstanding, and you played like that.
All right, got to run. Krusty's Corner coming up next. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, I've got a really good exercise for my guys. We'll do.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and it's time now for Krusty's Corner. Here he is, the king, brought us.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you five new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Always appreciate you playing that. Before I start this thing off, we do have a love of the star. Willie mentioned that earlier. It's on your wherever you get your Odyssey podcast. We do have that. He mentioned also that I will be at training camp starting next Monday. Looking forward to that as well. And I want to ask the guys this question. Did we miss an opportunity at this World Cup to actually go as like media members?
Hell yes.
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to look back from this? And I'm much older than you guys.
Much.
So me going to a World Cup here in the United States, I'll be 75 out there, 70-something years old.
Oh, when it
comes,
bring it back.
When it comes back, and hopefully I'll be around. If not, David Hellman said he'd do the eulogy. It'll be fun. But do we miss an opportunity? We were excited about it, the buildup, and then when it came to the actual execution of it,
terrible.
Are you gonna take this one as a big L?
Yeah.
After hearing like talking to Nick Harris and others that went through it, and at least just try and get the credential and go to the games and the matches in Dallas were really good too. By the way,
yeah. It's the most disappointed Abby has been in me in a long time that I didn't take her.
Okay.
Well, but I just said, hey, no idea demand was going to be like this.
Okay,
honey.
But yeah. And
so expensive.
It was very expensive. I'm just saying from a media perspective, the fact that we are.
That'd have been salt in the wound for your daughter.
Well,
sorry, baby. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm going.
I got a credential.
But no, if you could have gone, did we fumble the ball on that one? Did we fumble it big time on this one?
I think so. I think, we probably should have been broadcasting from that international broadcast center.
Yeah.
We could have gotten credentialed to go to games.
Sure.
I don't know.
You
know?
I feel like looking back on it, because I went in 94, but I wasn't I was just a fan.
Just a hammered dude in the audience.
Yeah, I was. Anheuser-Busch gave us tickets, so I was having a good old time. But I just wondered if I'm going to look back on this and go, damn, I missed out on this one.
I mean, I really, as you know, I don't go out of my way to go to actual sporting events.
Sure.
Because the crowds and
it's hard.
Stimulation.
But for this something once every 4 years kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it remains one of those bucket list things.
Yeah. I mean, we cover the Super Bowl and then we're like, when are we out of here? When's our flight? When we're out of, we cover it and then we move on, but this is one of those times where I kind of having regret that I didn't do more.
Walchuk getting to live at Cosm the entire time probably Cosm helps alleviate.
If you can't be there, be at Cosm.
Yeah.
And that definitely was amazing, but it would have been a really cool experience to be able to go to a match for
sure.
Gotcha.
All right. In my exercise today, I'm going to give you a player's name and I want you to tell me the first thing about this guy as we get into the season.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give you a player's name, and I want you just to say the first thing that pops in your mind about the player. Just
word association with Cowboys players.
But say it away like, listen, this guy's got no chance. This guy's going to be a star. This guy's got a lot of promise. But I'm going to give you a name, and you tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. You guys ready?
I think so.
Wolchuk, I'll start with you.
Oh, man, okay.
Thank God.
Let's do it.
I'll start with you, Wolchuk. P.J. Locke.
Thumper.
Said thump? Or
thumper?
Dump?
Thumper. I think he's a big hit guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a physical presence.
Mm-hmm.
You think he's going to be a starter for this team?
I do. I think overall he's going to end up working himself. When they go nickel, I think he'll be one of the starting safeties. Otherwise, I think your two starters will be Downs and Thompson. But they'll play a lot of nickel.
Chief, I say P.J. Locke to you.
I just think decent, okay. I don't view him as a starter.
Yeah. So you're thinking he was a guy that's more like a depth piece than anything.
Yes.
So just no positive feeling any way about it.
I think as a run defender, he should be a plus player for you. But with Downs and Thompson, and I do think they're going to have some deference for Malik Hooker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see P.J. Locke making a huge difference for your defense.
Dawson, P.J. Locke to you.
I think versatility. From what I understand, he played a variety of roles and was maybe a jack-of-all-trades type of player. I do wonder if he can be their deep guy. Because Malik Hooker's age.
Sure.
So if I had to pick one spot where I think he's going to be a starter here, maybe it's a nickel as a deep guy.
Yeah. How about this one to you, Chieftain?
Mm-hmm.
Devin Moore.
Mystery box. I mean, I'm excited about the future of this guy. In year one, I don't have much in the way of expectations for him. Later round pick. I like the profile outside of the injuries. So I think potential bright future, but I would be surprised if if we're in the middle of the season, it's like, wow, this Devin Moore is an immediate impact player for you.
Sure.
But big picture, I am excited about him. You just got to see if he can stay healthy.
Could you see a guy inactive every week?
I could see, yes. I think that's certainly on the table. Unless on special teams, he's able to be a real player for you.
Dawson, Devin Moore to you.
You know, the injury concern is real, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very.
So I would start there. But I think he is like the ultimate Christian Parker corner.
Mm-hmm.
He can play zone. He can do press man. He likes to tackle. And maybe that's how he gets hurt.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm excited because I feel like Christian Parker knows what his corners want to look like. And this revealed to us what his plan is going to be as we transition out of the current group to the next group.
To you, Wooly.
Yeah, promising. I mean, I think he's a very talented player. It's rare that you see somebody move as fluid as he does at that size. He can flip his hips and go. But I do think to be active every week, he's going to have to prove he can be an impact special teamer. But I think ultimately we're going to see him. I mean, I just don't trust really anybody in that corner room to stay healthy. And he's probably one of those guys, but he's going to end up getting valuable playing time this year. I don't have any doubt about that.
Dawson, to you. Jonathan Mingo.
Oh, bye-bye would be my first thought.
Sure.
What's he got, six catches since being traded for?
It's not many of them, yeah.
Six catches?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they brought in Marquez Valdes-Scantling and the sixth-round pick. Or was he a seventh-round pick?
Anthony Smith was a seventh, yeah.
I wish it would work out because, like, Mingo in the run game is nasty, you know, but you have to give some baseline level of threat to the defense to be the pass catcher to play off of that. And, you know, that's one of the big things that I hope the Cowboys can get a handle on is when you look at the Rams, and it's been happening for years now, their receivers can block and their corners can tackle. So I like the idea of Mingo, but ultimately just a bust. And it's crazy you gave up a 4 for him and a 3 for George Pickens.
Yeah. How about you, Chieftain?
Yeah. Dunsky. He does have 6 catches for his career in a Cowboys uniform.
Sure.
I'd be surprised if he doubled up on that this year.
How about you there, Wooly?
To steal a Dawson phrase, see you later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's gone. I mean, and if he's not, it means that, boy, some of these wide receivers, it's either just pure stubbornness because they traded for him, or some of these other receivers laid some big eggs and just did not show up in camp. But you're going to have a better option.
I'm going to try and get this one more guy in there. Wooly, to you. Jonathan Bullard.
Run stopper. I mean, I think that's what he's going to be. You know, I think that he's a guy that'll be situational. He's a big body. I think he's going to be good against the run, and he'll be in a solid rotation first and second down.
To you, Chief.
Yeah, good run defender. Great depth piece on the defensive line. Great body to have for early downs.
To you, Dawson. Jonathan Bullard.
You know, I just think this is representative of how that defensive line look is changing for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Big, strong guys with long arms,
sure.
Heavy hands, hard to move.
Yeah,
you know. So I guess I'm excited to have him as a depth piece behind the guys that they already have. I think it's a great position of strength for the Cowboys.
I think he's a guy we really haven't talked a whole lot about, but he might surprise us when we all get out of camp of how much power he does play with.
Really?
I think so. All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate
exciting.
It.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the nation. We have Rangers pregame coming up at 6:30 as they take on the White Sox with DeGrom making his return. That's fun. But I need a fix, Wolchuk. Where are you taking it?
Oh, I got you, baby. We got Brady Beef backflips and the NFL All-Backup Team next.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.